Blog Talk Radio.
Lock your mind. See you rising, wanna stop your grind. Sell the drugs they sold to us and call it drug bust. Grab they money, double product, then they lock you up, it's fucked up. They stand they ground, you better bow on yours and tough luck. We start rebelling cause they failed us, man, enough's enough. We bring a pistol, they got kids. We got rocks, they got grenades. Waving tanks all in your face. Ah. Look at what you made. You're trying to send the mud, then get mad when we decayed and enraged. We play this old game since we was raised. Until we load the cartridge, blow that dust up in their face. Ah. Yeah, this shit is bad, dog. Under five black skin and got a black ball. Yeah, this shit is fucked up. No more cries, time to ride if they act up. Guns up with that vest on and they pumped up and they ready to go. A few jumps up in that lid. Fuck what you did, bruh. Your wife is thinking your kids crying. Heard what they said? Toss your shit off on that float with that pistol up on your head. Them fuck boys running straight to your stash. Look in that closet, under that bed. Grabbing your kids and copping your bread. Ain't re-up, niggas ain't find shit. Lord, somebody shout him. These niggas know too much. Point out some sucker niggas ducking. Probably know too much. Now why she caught a kiss? Your baby fucking scarred. Trash in your house, these niggas claim it as they fucking job. Nah, asking questions, keep your calm. Cause these sucker ass niggas hating hard. Yeah, yeah. Pay us what you owe us, nigga.
Good evening, everybody. Happy Black History Month. I believe this is our first show in February, so if anyone hasn't told y'all, yeah, happy Black History Month. Do I have my wonderful co-hosts, Shalice and Keith, on the line?
Yo, yo, happy Black History Month. Hello, everybody. Good evening.
Peace, everybody. It's Shalice. Hello, hello, hello.
Awesome. So I have my amazing guest. Today we have a great show. I know I'm super excited for it. Today we're going to have Niecy X, who is the founder of the Black Women's Defense League. She has some amazing stuff going on, and she's out here doing some amazing things. So we're going to bring her on the line shortly and talk to her. But before we get started, we're going to do kind of our usual banter and, you know, just talk about what's going on. So, host, what do you guys have on your mind? Shalice, do you have anything on your mind, anything brewing that you want to bring up or have been itching to bring up outside of Beyonce? Because we're going to bring that up in a couple of minutes.
Okay, you know what? I do have something that I want to bring up. So yesterday, I was told that the title of my event, which is happening on March 26th, next month, make sure you're there. The title of my event is problematic because, you know, there's no right or wrong way to be an activist. Okay, so I just want to address this real quick. The title of my event, yes, it is called How to Be an Activist 101. But that is a rhetorical question because there is no way, there's no right or wrong way to do this thing that we call Black empowerment, okay? The spirit, the message behind the event is because I want people to realize that we are our own greatest Black leader and that we need all hands on deck to fight this system called white supremacy. So if there was any, you know, questions or debate about that, I just wanted to put that out there, let it be known that I'm in no way saying that I know exactly how we're supposed to be doing this because, you know what, I just started my path to righteousness, and I recognize that. So for anyone who had those thoughts in their mind, I just wanted to put that out there real quick. You know, y'all carry on.
All right now, but you're right though. It's no right or wrong way to do it. But just being aware and just trying to bring people together. It's a positive thing no matter what. So, but the negative energy is going to be there. So you just continue to do what you do and, you know, kick rocks to anybody who's trying to get in the way of that progress. You know what I'm saying? So keep doing your thing, queen.
Well, I just wanted to say that because, you know, I did get some negative feedback, and that's been on my heart and on my spirit. So I just wanted to put that out there real quick because this is a event that is designed to generate positive energy. So if that's not within you, then don't come. You don't have to come. I will completely understand. But this is more so a family meeting, us coming together to plan on some solutions, okay?
So can I just get a little ratchet with it for a second? I'm just confused on why niggas are hating. Like, it is fucking Black History Month. We are trying to, or you are trying to put together something where people keep having a question like, how can we be a part? How can I do this? I would like to join a part of something, but I don't know how to do it. So we're giving you a platform where there are people that can give you these tools. You can probably sign up there right on site. You're going to eat some amazing food from some amazing caterers.
Exactly.
There are amazing black-owned vendors in the building. So I don't understand why people, well, hey, and I apologize for using the word niggas, but I just feel like they're being ignorant, so that's the word that I choose to use today. Like, if you have a question about something or you're unclear, I just feel like let's ask the question instead of downing the situation. I'm also going to bring this exact statement back up when we get to this Beyonce situation because I think some of y'all niggas are talking out of line. But I'm going to segue then to Keith and see what you have on your plate or what you got brewing on your mind on this beautiful Tuesday night.
Well, first off, I want to shout out the Flow for Flint movement. A bunch of DMV artists and just people, I guess just activists and people who just wanted to help, got together and drove many bottles of water and utensils and I guess hand sanitizers and filters and all type of things to Flint in a U-Haul truck, and it made a lot of noise, and I know that's not why they did it. They just did it to do it. But I mean, I just want to say shout out to them for doing anything and stepping up and taking action, and from what I understand, they're doing it again. So just to highlight
some
positivity going on, especially going on close to us. They come in right out of the city, right out of D.C. So, yeah, much love to Flow for Flint. It was on the news and everything. Like, it was beautiful. But I was looking at the fact that the Black Lives Matter activist's name is Marshawn McCarroll. Excuse me if I'm getting that wrong. But apparently shot himself in front of the Ohio State House. Committed suicide right there today after he tweeted Monday, excuse me. I'm reading it as I go. But I saw it earlier. And he had put a Facebook message up saying his demons had won and said he was sorry. And then that was before he did what he did. And had y'all had seen that or heard about that?
Well, I have heard about that, and I want to speak to that real quick. You know, to the people who are involved in this work, who are deeply involved in this work, this shit, it can get heavy, you know, because it is our time away from our friends, our time away from our families, it's our money. It's so many things that can weigh you down on top of the fact that we realize that we have an entire system fighting against us that we have to combat. But the beauty of being involved in work like this is that we have an entire network of brothers and sisters who understand the struggle, and we are here for you. You do not have to fight that battle alone. I understand that it can get heavy. You have real, you know, you have intimate things going on in your everyday life along with being a servant to your community. So to anyone, I just want to offer myself, like, if you ever feel like you need to talk, please feel free to hit me up. My phone number, my email address is all out there. And if it's not available to you, please contact me. I am not that type of person that I would turn someone who is in need away. You know, that's, I wouldn't say, you know, that's a tragedy, because rest in power to that brother, because it just seemed like the struggle overwhelmed him, and that's what we're fighting against.
Yeah,
definitely.
And understanding that, I mean, not only that, it's like the demons within and the force you're going against will fight back at a certain point. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I go into every situation, like even when I dropped the song Say to the Enemy, like I understood that if for whatever reason it blows up, you know, far beyond my expectations, I may have to deal with certain repercussions because of the things that I'm saying. And, you know, I got to be able to deal with it. And that's just small, but what he was doing was a great, much larger scale. And you have to understand that people will fight back. I mean, when you look, and I know it's just TV, but when you look at certain shows like The Scandal, and I watch House of Cards and stuff like that, and even though those are, you know, made up, it's a lot of truth, and it's a lot of, you know, factual events, and a lot of things
mm-hmm.
that you derive from, you know, in those shows to show you how corrupt and grimy the system is behind closed doors. So you have to understand that if they want somebody or if they really want to attack you, and even when we had our last guest on, or no, the previous show, when we talked to the young lady who was cousins with, I forgot the brother's name.
Kieran, and
she was even telling us about how they've been, you know, harassed or, you know, constantly. So, you know, everybody just has, like you said, know you're not alone. If you're out there and you're fighting, know you're not alone. And if you need help and you need, you know, someone to talk to, go to like-minded people. You know what I'm saying? Go to like-minded individuals who know what you're going through or just know that you need help and will be willing to help you. They're there. But don't resort to this. This is exactly what they want you to do. They want to take the people out that really have a mind. I don't even, you know, fully know what his goal was. I'm not going to say that he was down the right path. I don't know. But I just know that he was looking for some sort of change. And anybody who's looking for some sort of change and using their brain to do so is a target. So make sure you're aware. Use that brain to understand that. And don't let them take you out. And don't let them make you take yourself out. So just be strong. Just be strong, everybody out there, man. Be strong.
I agree, and I think that's very well said by the both of you. And I think this is the perfect way to also segue into our next guest. I'm going to now unmute this young lady. We have, like I said, Niecy X today, which is the founder of the Black Women's Defense League. I just happened to actually run into her on Facebook. We had a lot of mutual friends because I got some brothers and sisters in power that have been blessed in my Facebook with not only wonderful messages, but also other interesting people to connect with. So I'm going to let Niecy introduce herself. We're going to do things a little different today because I want to bring her into our hot topic. So, Niecy, you on the line, babe?
Yeah, I'm here. Thank you guys so much for having me. I really, really appreciate it. Is the sound okay right now?
Yeah.
Okay, great. But yeah, thank you guys so much for having me on. It's a pleasure. Hopefully we can talk about some really, really cool and important stuff today. But just to give a brief introduction, my name is Niecy X. I'm the founder of Black Women's Defense League. We were founded actually not too long ago, September 2015. So we're a baby organization, but we're doing big kids stuff, or at least trying to anyway. We work primarily to advocate for Black women and dealing with issues that affect the Black community as a whole, whether it be police brutality, domestic violence, rape, molestation, social and economic disparities, as well as dealing with the family structure and children and all of that different type of stuff. We were conceived for a number of different reasons, one being that I'm a former, victim of not police brutality, but of domestic violence, and also a supporter and advocate of many other women who have dealt with a myriad of different issues in the context of not only being Black, but also being a woman. And so it is our goal and duty to provide a voice, an outlet, and also solutions to many of these issues, as well as to kind of have a voice about what it is to be a Black woman in this country and abroad on a number of different issues, like, for instance, the Beyonce issue, which I'm sure we're going to talk about. It's funny, though, whenever something happens, people will be like, oh, it's a distraction, as if they were about to, like, lace their boots up and go and oppose the government, like, in a few hours, but we stopped them or something. You know, the reality is that we live in a society that is filled with different topics and different things happening. It's our responsibility as even a vanguard, but much less is us the revolutionary, to be able to have conjecture and understanding of these issues and how they can correlate to hopefully the liberation of all people of color. So,
awesome.
Yeah, I think that that's probably pretty – that's me. I'm from Dallas, born and raised. I'm 26 years old. I'm always the baby in the room. And I'm a hairstylist and makeup artist in my time away from the revolution, which is rare. Even my hair business is called Revolutionary. No, it's good. It's good to be able to work with your hands and work with what you have and not have to answer to somebody else to get your bills paid. So I'm grateful and blessed for that, for certain. But yeah, I'm all about Black power, whichever way we can get it. I'm all about Black power and Black women being empowered.
Awesome. Perfect. So now to the burning topic that's, I think, been on everyone's timeline and feed. I know between Shalice, Nisi, and I, we've all had our opinions, some varying. I think at some point some of them coming together, as well as a thousand other opinions that we've seen online and blogs, articles, and stuff. Keith, I'm going to need you to chime in with your man opinion on this as well. But I'm going to start off with kind of how I feel about the situation, and I'm just going to kind of make it short. I don't understand what y'all are waiting for from this woman or any other artist. Art is made as an outlet to reflect your emotions as well as a sign of the time. Y'all have been asking for her and her husband, as well as many other artists, to make this type of music, to stand for causes, to march on the front line, to donate, to do several other things, in which many of those things they have done, and it's just still not enough. Like, I don't know if y'all thought she was Asada or like Angela Davis or something, but I just don't get what the big ass issue is. I personally looked at it like, it's my fucking Black History Month. We got this beautiful queen on a Super Bowl backed up by an army of queens, which is why I think this show is perfect for this conversation. But, and a song that is also talking about the love for self and our people. Like, I don't see what the issue is, and I don't see why everyone's panties are in a bunch. So I'm going to let whoever wants to chime in here with your opinions, or actually let me start off. I'm going to go to Shalice first. And then I would like Nisi and Keith to kind of chime in. But those are my thoughts. I would love to hear yours.
Well, my comments are actually very brief because, you know, the summation of how I feel is that I just choose not to engage at all because I feel like it's a marketing ploy. And because I feel like she's trying to sell me something, I just don't even want to engage that. I understand if other people feel empowered by the message, if the imagery, if it's just the visual, if it's the lyric, you know, if you find empowerment in it and it spurs you to action, then, you know, right on, all power to the people. But I just personally choose to, you know, just kind of shrug my shoulders at it because to me it doesn't feel genuine. And no one can answer, none of us can answer that question of if it's genuine, because none of us know her or her deepest sincerity. So that's just my opinion on it.
I'm sorry. Is it okay for me to chime in? Okay. So I think a couple of different things, and if anybody has been even paying attention to anything that I type, which I don't expect. I've kind of gone through the motions of different feelings about it. In fact, I think, is it Charisse? I felt the same way when I first saw it. I was just like, man, she ain't really trying to do this for the people. That's for the Super Bowl. But then I started to really kind of sort of research it and dig into it and find out what she's done prior to now and what she's currently doing. And we talk so much about people coming out and doing stuff and we're like, oh, it's for publicity. But never mind the work that she's been doing for years, like since Destiny's Child, real talk, in communities and Black communities to help people, whether it be the apartment system that she has in Houston, all of the different businesses that she owns in Houston and provides resources back to the community monthly from those organizations or companies that she owns. The money that they gave to Black Lives Matter wasn't a small amount, but they also, most people aren't aware that it didn't just go to Black Lives Matter. It went to other grassroots initiatives as well that they didn't name specifically, but it wasn't just Black Lives Matter. And there's a couple of other things. And then for me, too, I don't know, like I question the motivations of just regular everyday people, or so we call them, who are in the movement. A lot of people are in it for ego. A lot of people are in it for notoriety or simply because they have no other personality. A lot of people are in it to kind of have their way. They don't necessarily want liberation. They just want to take the spot of those who are the oppressors. You know, so there's a lot of different reasons, and I think that it's kind of our duty to provide to one another, as in other people of color, the benefit of the doubt and to really see where things go. And I don't think that she's proven herself to be a completely opportunistic person, because after all, we didn't even know about this other stuff that she was doing. So it couldn't have been to raise the clout or of what people know about her, not to mention that she doesn't, honestly, like in the music industry and in the entertainment industry, she doesn't need to do that in order to be who she was. If she had got on that stage, shook her ass, and played some, you know, one of her songs from her old CDs, everybody would have been happy, right, pleased, and would have been Super Bowl, and it would have been good. So she didn't even have to do that. She took a step out, and it reminds me of stuff like what Billie Holiday did when she sang Strange Fruit at the awards show. It reminds me of things that other actors and actresses and playwrights and everything else throughout Black history have done, and then been blackballed for it. You know, just perfectly honest, the European response to it tells me everything about how it really is. And I think that sometimes in our critical analysis of people when they do things, that sometimes we dissuade and discourage other people from doing the same, because it's not easy. You know, our job every day may be something totally different. It may not be standing up in front of millions of people, and whatever you do is going to be heavily criticized. Maybe you just work at an office, but some of us aren't even using our platform to do for Black people. You know, she's using her platform to do for Black people, and it's going to come with a backlash. I already know it. It's already starting to come with a backlash, you know. And then lastly, which I don't mean to be very long-winded, something that I noticed the other day, too, is that when other people have made strides, even if it's something really small. Marshawn Lynch said, "What's up, African?" He kind of dished the press for a while. He said, "Hello to all my Afro." Like, he said some kind of Afrocentric stuff. And dude was like Black Messiah, like God of, you know, the Black Power movement. Or even when Kanye West said, "George Bush don't like Black people," you know, people already kind of idolized him as, you know, saying that real shit, saying what really matters, what's really going on. And there's been plenty, NWA, Fuck the Police, like there's been plenty of artists who have made these types of statements, and it really hasn't been as violent of a pushback for them as it has been for her. And there's only really one difference I can see, and that's the fact that she's a woman. When I look at the comments and I look at the stuff that people are saying about her, it has very little to do with the subject matter and a lot to do with her being a woman, with what she was wearing, with how her hair was, with what her background dancers were wearing and what the song. I mean, like, it just had nothing to do with actual tangible evidence of her not giving a crap. They were just like, oh, she got blonde hair. Never mind the fact that, like, African people born on the continent have blonde hair. You know, never mind the fact that maybe she has blonde hair. Never mind the fact that I got red hair. My hair ain't boring this way, but I'm down for the revolution. So, you know, like, yeah. It's insane. And I think that to be able to shrug it off and say that it doesn't matter kind of distances us from being relevant to the culture and to the people, because really at the end of the day, the conscious community is minute and small in comparison to the Black community as a whole. As much as we would like to believe that our tight-knit group of who we know when we scroll down the timeline, RBG, who this, Asada that, whoever, that's mm-hmm. not who the people are. The people are the little kids who saw that and they were like, oh, Blue Ivy looks like me, oh, you know, or saw that and recognized that they were powerful and that they could make a statement and that it wasn't just men who were able to make statements about being proud of who they were. It's like the mothers who see that and who are able to tell their sons that they're, you know, they don't have to be worried about that because, shoot, if you can pull a Beyonce with a Michael Jackson nose, then maybe you can, you know, do something else. I mean, these things seem small and inconsequential, but our world tears us down every day. It is not popular to be Black. It's popular to have Black culture. It's not popular to be Black. Mm-hmm. You know, and so I just feel real horrible about the fact that we've been so overwhelmingly negative there because I feel like, what's she supposed to do? Like, which way should she go? When she was out on the front lines of Ferguson, we didn't like it. We was like, oh, it's for publicity. When she was giving money, we didn't like it. Well, why she ain't out there? She just throwing money at the problem. When she does both, we still don't. You know,
you
it's just like,
win.
What's she supposed to do? What's she supposed to do? If she cares and she honestly cares, how are we giving her an opportunity to exude that? We give everybody else a benefit of the doubt. We give Umar Johnson a benefit. Let me not say that. But we give all types of people a benefit of the doubt and who may or may not deserve it. But we like going hard in the paint for a sister who looks like, you know, she's putting some effort forth and has been for a minute. Why?
Yeah, I definitely agree.
I'll say this. I'm more along the lines of I didn't really care either way. Like, I didn't look at it as a big leap of Black power. I didn't look at it as nothing. I just saw it as an entertainment and just didn't take from it. Then when people asked my opinion of it and I was forced to think about, you know, what I was looking at, at first it did seem like she's trying to sell Black power. It seems like it's something she's trying to sell that immediately comes after your tour announcement. And I heard you say earlier something about, you know, them not needing it. I mean, that's kind of contrary to people believe that they actually do need these things. Even that's how they stay where they are. And that's why Kanye West does what he does. That's why Beyonce does what she does. Like, little things that they do is what keeps them where they are. If they stop doing those things, it will start to, someone else will take that spot. No one has a spot forever. So it does sometimes come across because of how, I'm not even going to say just her, because I don't want to isolate her. The artists or the people that have a heavy influence in our communities because of what they do, whether it be basketball, music, et cetera, they do things and they kind of sprinkle a little bit here and there, or like you said, you know, whatever, but it doesn't seem consistent. It doesn't seem like everything they're doing is for the cause.
What should she do?
Hold on.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
but there's a lot that could be done. I mean, to say that she couldn't do anything or any of these people couldn't do anything, that's bogus. I mean, there's a lot that could be done. Even just in the music industry as musicians, like people of Beyonce and Jay-Z and Kanye West, and they're a circle. You know, they are clearly a circle. They show it. They have enough money and they have enough power to get people to influence, to create a distribution company owned by Black people so that Black people will be able to make music and to get to funnel and get to distribute their own music. We don't have that. They could go out there every single night and say, I'm not going to stop. And so they have the power and influence to get other artists to do the same thing. But what I'm saying is she doesn't have to do that. She does not have
to
do that.
I think you're getting – there's a billion things that we could be doing.
Let me finish. This is what I'm saying. This is why people feel the way they feel. Because it's like, if you're not going to be 100, then don't give me 30. Because it's like she has the power and influence to go 100. A lot of people that are going 100 don't even have the resources to do so. But you're still going 100. We're talking about people who have the resources and they gain their money off of the people that
Let's pause right there because I want to address it, because it's been something that there were things said that people who are actually on, you know, the front line are pushing back because we're jealous of the attention that Beyonce is getting, and I don't feel like that. Like, I completely agree with the things that Niecy is saying. If I chose to engage at all, it's not like it doesn't matter to me. It's the fact that because we had the single, the performance, and the tour ticket, it was kind of like, okay, like, I understand that this is not just, you know, an independent statement. This is also a market employee. And because of that, I choose not to be manipulated by that. I completely feel like if people feel empowered by the magnet, then use that as the platform for yourself to do something greater than just listen to the song. Don't let it just be about the song and the Super Bowl performance and the tour. If it's supposed to mean that much, if Beyonce is supposed to now be a symbol of inspiration, then because this is, and this is where I'm coming from with that standpoint, that it's more than, for a lot of people, it's more than a song, because they don't have study and research and knowledge of self to back up the fact that it's really, I mean, in some aspects, she can be a symbol, but it's just a song. She's not, as you know, as he said, she's not an Asada. She's not a famous.
But why does she?
She doesn't have to be. But we're not going to say that she is. We're not going to hold that up as though she is the next black freedom fighter. That I don't agree with, because that's not who she is.
I'm sorry. I've been like fighting myself. I'm sorry. I think that she doesn't necessarily have to be Asada or the next black freedom fighter, and I really think it's up to the revolutionary to use our society and the things that go on, regardless of what they are. The same way how, as much as I hate talking about the presidential election, is something that's on the minds and hearts of the people, so it's something that I have to work into my political education when I'm out there and I'm dealing with the people. The same way how when I'm dealing with these young girls and they see these images on TV and they're seeing nothing positive, but boom, here's something that's at least somewhat positive, at least somewhat empowering, and I know for certain that they saw it. I have to have conjecture and an ideology about it. But even beside that point, like, I think that, like, during the 60s and 70s when the Black Panthers were in their prime, if you go back and you look at documentaries of any of them speaking, they'll tell you that out and around where the headquarters was in each respective city, there was 50 people who were actually rank and file members, and probably 70 to 80 or 100 people who were just there with a leather jacket on, a beret, and, you know, chewing on a chewing stick, talking some Black Power stuff. And the difference in what we have now and what we had back then, I honestly believe, is a code of culture. And it's something that I run my head into a lot when I'm organizing, because I expect everybody to be like 100, because I'll be like, how can we have anything less when we out here getting killed? Like, we got to be at 100, but not everybody can give 100. Sometimes that single mother with four kids can only give 20. But who am I to say that screw your 20, shit, you should be giving 100. I know you got that good job. I know you got this. I know you got that. You know, like, it's if somebody gives you some money and then you just like, shit, you should have gave me 50. You know, like, I don't know. I have trouble feeling as though that's the right way to look at things. And also, I think that it discourages people from wanting to do more, you know. Right. And really, I think that creating a culture is what's necessary. So as much as people had to say about you being able to look like a Panther by buying her clothing line, or about her having the tour, which she's a musician, this is her job, right? So she's supposed to stop having a job in order to appease people, and she's supposed to, instead of only doing like the $150,000 that she gave and the apartment project, and the fact that she, you know, exposed the cause to probably one of the largest stages that you can find in this country. Aside from all of that, she should still be doing more. And sure, she can. What if she does? What if she doesn't? What are we going to do with it? What can we use it for? Because I feel like it's too valuable to just let it sit there and be like, oh, well, if y'all care about it, if you don't. You know, I think that we don't have the necessary respect for certain things, you know, and I think that sometimes we're just too negative. Like, at the end of the day, I'm not really that I don't feel like it was just a marketing ploy, and really initially I did. And even if she does continue her job, if her job looks anything like what she's done with that music video and her performance and the different things that she's done in the past and now, then shit, I'm okay with it. You know, everybody has entertainment. Entertainment is necessary. Entertainment used to have a message, and I think that that's where it's gone wrong. So if we talk about what we can do to bring that message back into music, yeah, we can have distribution companies, but yeah, we could also have music that's more edifying to the culture. And I feel like this is a step in that right direction.
I mean, we do have music. We have that music. It's there. Like, the music is there.
Well, I mean, on the airwaves. Even, let me rephrase that. Not just in general, but I mean on the airwaves and popular, you know?
Yeah, I just want to say one last thing. Again, I don't look for any of these people to do, and I say that as far as entertainment, period, to do anything. And I've been raised in a household where my uncle more so has always been like, oh, you know, these y'all entertainers don't do anything. He always look at what we had and look at how they really were all about trying. I'm like, it's a different time. It's a different era. Everybody, you know, not everybody was doing it, but, you know, it was a lot more prevalent in your face. We need to do something. There was a lot more going on. And not to say that we shouldn't still have that going on, but I think where a lot of people, like I said, were a little – you know, I'm just playing devil advocate, honestly, because either way I can see your point of view. But, like, a lot of people were bothered, one, about the video having some shots of New Orleans and then saying that the song had nothing to do with that, and the director didn't even want her to use it, but they did anyway. And then I noticed one of my friends who's really, you know, New Orleans
which
proud
is incorrect.
On her status. This is what was being reported. She was just flabbergasted that, wow, you did all this, you had the New Orleans stuff, and you're not even visiting New Orleans when you have your tour. And it's like everybody is picking her apart with every little detail of the situation. Only thing that I hope and pray for is that someone of their stature, doesn't have to be an entertainer, somebody who just has the money and the power, the influence, even beyond that, is the influence that they have. Because you see how Beyonce can... Jay-Z maybe will stop wearing Timberland. You know how hard it is to get black folk to stop wearing Tims, and then when he put them back on, they put them back on. Like, he has power, even though people don't like to admit it. That man has a lot of power. So that's why people look at them like, you have a lot of power, and if you were consistent in your message, it may influence the younger ones to stay consistent in theirs. But when it's like this happens, and then the next video or the next three videos are just, you know, shake your ass, you know, get popping, drink this liquor, you know, smoke, whatever, have some fun. Like, if the rest of it is that and you just have one little sprinkle of, yeah, be black and proud, it's an inconsistent message, and it doesn't really have the same impact. If you want to have an impact, then make the impact and stay on it. So I think that's just where people are coming from. But at the same time, like you said, she don't have to. You know what I'm saying? She don't have to do any of it. So, I mean, we could appreciate it and we could just look at it for what it is. But on the flip side, I see why people may have a little bit of like, I don't know about this situation, about it. So,
was,
I mean.
Well, that's Tupac good for the culture?
Huh?
I just got like a little half of a question. Was Tupac good for the culture? Was he good for black culture?
Tupac was bad and good for the culture, honestly. In my opinion.
Well,
because,
I mean, like, in the big scheme of things,
I know
he was able to have social commentary, social context, and also have radio music. And not all of it I agreed with, but I think that he was true to himself as an artist. And that's all I ask for from people. It's the same way how when I deal with, like, N.W.A. I don't agree with everything that they did, but I think that they were true to themselves as artists, at least initially. Same for UGK. You know, if you want to tell a story,
Tupac,
tell the whole story.
To speak to that, I mean, Tupac was true to himself to a degree. I mean, he let a lot of things influence him. He started to get out of control, and he started to send the wrong message. He started to be very hypocritical. So, you know, and I think at one point he even lost sight of his full mission. So it's hard to say, because a lot of people, when they hear Tupac or they visit him, they just think a thug, like, shoot somebody. But they don't think about, you know, keep your head up. They don't think about the speeches he gave when he told black people to stand up and unite and be as one, because half of your career you were beefing with other black people. You were talking about killing and fucking other black people. Excuse my language, but mm-hmm. talking about fucking another black man's wife. You were talking about destroying a whole coast of black people. So it's like, you know, it's hard to say for people to follow that. So that's why I'm saying, like, there are artists who will go all the way with their message. So to say that we shouldn't expect that, it's kind of like, nah, we should, because it's needed. It's needed more than anything right now. We need that more than we need to shake our ass. We need that more than we need to drink. We need that more.
Mm-hmm.
It's really bad out here.
So,
I don't think it got to be all in that business. That's it. I mean,
We have to.
All right, so guys. I was about to say, so before we have a caller that wants to actually hop in on this, so I love that this dialogue is going, so I'm going to go ahead and pull this caller in. Last four digits, 2359, you're on the line. What you got to say? What's up? What's up?
What's up, African?
Oh,
wow,
it's
you know who this
is.
Is
it Brother KLX on the line? Yes, it is.
Yeah. I was just, you know, enjoying this love energy and these conversations. I wanted to tap in, speak to Nisi X. You know, our relationship, you know, is growing and building, and I knew she was on YBE, so I had to hold y'all queens down too, you know?
Thank you.
That's what's up.
Yeah. So I love all, you know, I love all the work that, you know, both of y'all been doing and all that type of stuff, but to jump in the conversation, if I can.
Please do.
It's funny how I come in next, or how I just came in when y'all talking about the need of artists that are unapologetic about message. Because I'm an artist that's unapologetic about, you feel me, ensuring that the people and the children, most importantly, get the proper narrative that's going to cultivate the desire for them to use their willpower to determine their own destiny. You know what I'm talking about. So we as the adults of this time have to build that foundation that allows them to freely, you know, build that. But anyway, what I think about Beyonce and her performance, like, it's only but so, like, I'm a firm believer that if anyone is really talking smack about Beyonce, then they're just really hating, you know what I'm talking about? Because, like, it's like,
I wouldn't
Beyonce,
don't say that, but,
like,
yeah.
Beyonce, like, because I just, I watched the performance too. I didn't watch the Super Bowl, I don't got a TV, but, you know, I don't watch TV. I got the idiot box out of my crib. But I saw the performance, and as far as I'm concerned, she did. I mean, she made her stance clear. Now, the marketing and the people, all the money behind her performance and the endorsement and all the other agendas that they're trying to tie into our culture, into our, like, what we do, because we're black power, we're blacktivists on the ground every single day, and we don't need celebrities or we don't need the work of, you know, outside sources in order for us to do what we have to do, right? That's why Nisi X is on the ground right now, and she started, you know, Black Women's Defense League, which is about to go national. You know what I'm talking about? If it already hasn't. You know, I haven't got the last update. But Beyonce is maybe, it's just an addition, because she's not about to start the Black Utopia. She's an entertainer. And so she may lead in certain aspects. She may lead in certain aspects about empowering people, because the song, I mean, how can you hate on that? She's talking about she loved Blue's hair, Blue sitting in the video with her, you know, with the fro. When I was little, I never seen that. It was just for me. Everybody has just for me, right? No one, even to this day, if you wear your hair like that and you go around some old people, they're going to tell you your hair looks nasty. They're going to tell you, you know, they're going to say these types of things. So to that such bold statement, you feel me, on that stage. And then I believe in the song, she's talking about how she loved Jay-Z's nose, you know, in the features, you know. So all the other politics behind it, you know, that's all other money and other influences and people. But as far as Beyonce is concerned, I saw her in all black with a team of queens behind her, basically with Black Women's Defense League behind her, you know what I'm talking about. Called it, because girls dance too. What, you can't dance and be a revolutionary? Like, I didn't know.
Oh, because you can,
that
baby.
Exactly, right? You can, right? So like, what did you expect her to? I believe
they
that
wanted her to go and oppose the White House with AKs
and like, I believe that Queen Bee, and I gotta call her that because, like, yo, I work so hard to put myself in a position to for one day she gonna look at KLX as her little bro. You know what I'm talking about? That's the type of life and mentality that I live. You feel me? Her and Hope is like, oh, yeah, KLX, woo-woo. You feel me? Like, them as, you know, me and Omo, I don't know, I just got my queen soon. And we mentorship and constant communication with those two are things that we're looking forward to in the future. You know what I'm talking about? So I'm going to stand behind her and her all black and, you know, Bruno, and they all black doing what they had to do, making sure, regardless if it was for marketing, regardless if they're making money off the culture, because they make money off the culture anyway. You know what I'm talking about? So
I think that's a good point. Why not we make money off of our culture and do
right.
it properly in a way we deem fit as opposed to someone else doing it? I just kind of want the last note. I feel like we'll never be, at this point in time, whoever you are in our eyes, in society's eyes, and full conscious or not, as an artist, when is enough enough? And that's something we teeter on as well as artists or activists. I'm sure it's people that look at Leon, Niecy, myself, Shalice, or Keith that are like, you could be doing X, Y, Z. Bitch, I see you at the club on Saturday night. But I could have been there networking. I could have been doing millions of things. Fuck that. I could just like to go to the club on Saturday and like to yell Black Power on the way out and on Tuesday when I have my show. So I just feel like as people, we discourage each other and bring each other down, because at the end of the day, we'll never know anyone's intent. And it's our job to watch and research and as educated people to see how it plays. But I know the next day I woke up to women being proud, everybody and their mama walk in some natural, a fro, whether it's their natural hair, whether they bought someone's natural hair, whatever the case may be. So for me, I'm not looking for someone to stand for me, but I think it's great that I can relate to a song that makes me feel proud. And, yeah, I'm going to give her money the same way Nina Simone was selling out shows. She was singing about it, and she was selling records. Like, this is entertainment. This is business. I do this show because I love my people. But I would hope that as people listen to this show, I can get sponsorships so I can reach more people and grow and grow and grow. But there may be somebody one day that will be like, Bianca, you know what? I don't think you're doing enough because of X, Y, Z. You can, instead of having one radio show, you can have five. That may or may not be within my limits, but I think that's where we teeter, whether it's Beyonce or any of us or any of our peers. When will it ever be enough? And I think that we'll never really get to that answer, or we won't come to it until we stop demanding so much from each other and just be happy to see people doing the work, people feeding each other, doing whatever the case may be, because people are all happy about this Beyonce thing. But if you go to Beyonce.com, she got a whole other tab that's called Be Good, which is all about her charitable giving, her donations, how you can be involved, how you can be an ambassador. So at the end of the day, whether you give a fuck about black people or not, or people that have clean water or not, if you listen to a Beyonce track makes you log in online and fucking give to some water, or be like, well, maybe black lives do matter. Why do these bitches have on a beret? I don't see nothing wrong with it. And that's just me. And
I totally agree.
I'm gonna
leave it there.
Shalice,
I am not
hating.
Oh yeah. Oh, we're not calling you a hater.
Oh, excuse me. When I was speaking, you know, I wasn't taking shots.
You love Beyonce.
Like, we
have my lane, and you know, we all have our own lane.
I'm not calling you a hater, P. You know we all love you. We all love you.
Yo, like, I just want us to love each other and to make peace with each other. It seems like it's just so hard on both sides, and it feels the same way. I can only imagine. Like, it feels, it's a weird thing to spend your whole day working for people. Like, say, for instance, for me, working for Black women, and I could post something that was amazing, some amazing thing that we had come to have. Like, say, for instance, I opened up a women's shelter. Somebody somewhere is going to be critical of that and be like, man, why'd you open up a men's shelter, you know? And it's just like, if we get it from both sides, because these white people is big mad. Like, we ain't even talked about that. These white people are livid. They're talking about boycotting her.
Right.
Rudy Giuliani is
yeah.
on one.
Oh,
this nigga
yeah,
is insanely
yeah,
upset.
They're
you
mad.
Know?
They're
big mad. And really, like, she has some real shit that she's going to have to face, too. Because, like, with Billie Holiday, after she did Strange Fruit, how many white folks you think she was singing in front of after that? How many gigs you think she was getting? We act like they're untouchable. And then another thing that I got to check is the fact that people are like, oh, well, the white establishment already knew. The white establishment didn't know that Billie Holiday was going to do what she did. Why we give them so much credit? Why we act like they're the all seeing eye? Like, they see it. We the all seeing eye. That's
right.
Us. Let's not give them that spot. Let's not give them that much control and power. We're capable of making decisions and moves on our own, and we do. I do. You know? And I just can't – I don't have the same sentiments about it. And really, to tell you the truth, I wasn't a Beyonce fan in the beginning. I was very critical of her. You know, and it doesn't make everything that she's ever done okay for me. Like, I'm not in the Bayhive, as they call it. But I certainly have respect for her putting her limbs out on the line. You know, I put my limb out on the line every day as much as I can, and hopefully we all do. And I think that prospectively, in the field that she's in, she put her limb on the line too, because it ain't gonna come without some consequences.
For sure. So what I'm going to do is, guys, I'm a King Leon X, our brother, and King, we appreciate you for calling in. I'm going to use the rest of this time so we can focus on Miss Niecy. We have half the show left, and I want to talk about the Black Women's Defense League and ask her some other questions. Did you have any final thoughts you wanted to drop before you roll down on us, bro?
Oh, nah, Queens. I just wanted to let y'all know that I was here and that I was, you know, that I'm listening, I'm vibing with y'all. You know, I'm rooting for y'all because I know that y'all out here doing the work and y'all paying the price and y'all taking it to the top. So, you know, on behalf of KLX and What's Up African, you know, we stand behind YBE and Black Women's Defense League. What's up?
Yes, and you know, we love y'all. We post your amazing videos, pictures, Black love moments, all of that. So, you know, we love you and we thank you. And, you know, we're going to have y'all back soon. So we're going to hear some more of them bars, some more of them Black Power bars you got coming up.
Appreciate the love.
Hell yeah. What's up, African, and all of that. And I got these T-shirts. We're getting them printed. They should be done by the end of the week. So, but you already know what it is on that.
Yeah, Queen. Yeah, it's all love. And, hey, wait, lastly, was that KC?
KC.
Yes, it was.
Was
that KC Cooper? Is he still on?
No, that was last week.
Oh, no, I'm talking about the brother that was talking before y'all.
Oh,
no,
my name is Keith. No, this is Keith. He wasn't on when we had you guys on the first. I brought him a little later, so he wasn't able to. He was on the call with us when we had you on, Liam.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, because y'all said Keith. I was like, you know, there's so many Keiths going around now. But anyway.
Yes,
all right. Love y'all.
Well, I appreciate the love, bro. I appreciate the love you coming in.
Oh, now, yeah, yeah. Now you were dropping out. You were dropping that knowledge.
I appreciate that, brother.
And appreciate you, bro.
I want to say one last thing before we go too far, because I agree with everything everybody was saying. The thing that I kind of disgusted in, more so than this Beyonce thing, is I think the way I've seen people treating Cam Newton, and I don't want to make it long because I know you want to move on, but the way that people were riding him and the way he was, like, kind of standing, I mean, I'm not saying standing for, I wouldn't say he's standing for Black people. I think that he was more so standing up for the culture and for the younger generation, and a lot of times for the Black young generation, when it comes to, you know, their expectations of how they're supposed to, you know, show themselves. And the whole time he was on the undefeated streak, the whole time he was on his way to Super Bowl, the week before the Super Bowl, everybody's riding with him. And he made one, I don't even think it was a mistake, but he made one, you know, poor decision to do something in an emotional moment where people thought it was a poor decision. I really don't think so. They jumped on him and, like, have basically turned all the way on him, talking about he's this, he's that, he's this, he's that. And it's like, I don't, like, the reason why I say it's not a black or white thing is because the Denver Broncos, besides Peyton Manning, is a whole team full of brothers. So, and that defense that was dominating is a whole team full of brothers. And, you know, they understand what Cam was going through. And I just, that disgusts me. So I do feel you what you're saying. Like, that's why I would never publicly, other than the radio show, you're asking a question, I'm not going to go out there and attack Beyonce. I'm not going to attack Cam Newton. I ain't going to attack none of these people who are human beings, but also are trying to make, you know, strides towards being better and showing that you can do better. And I think we do need to do a better job of being critical of each other in private. And in public, just embracing each other, even when it hurts, almost like a family member. You know your family member ain't nothing. When y'all in the street, you like, nah, that's my blood. But when y'all behind closed doors, you know what I'm saying? So we do have to do that, and I do agree with that.
Yeah, we're the only ones who openly don't support each other like this. We're the only ones.
And that's why we still fight in the same fight, but in the same place for now. Several hundreds of years we have, and which we can't act like, you know, the white man and European culture has not forced us to be as such. However, we got to break out of that or else we're never going to make it to the top. So I'm going to segue from that to, since we are talking, or we were talking about Beyonce and the beautiful army of queens behind her, Niecy does have the Black Women's Defense League, which I've, you know, read up on it and done a couple, you know, seen some articles and some videos and, you know, just looking at your posts. I think it's awesome that you are, you know, teaching women how to defend themselves as well as be in the community. So I know I saw one of your statuses that I kind of wanted to ask you about, where you say, you know, you were unable to do your community meetings, I believe, at the hotel you were using before. So if you can kind of explain to us what is it that you do and where it's at. So if there are people listening in your area or when you repost this, you can send out the word. What is it that you do? Where is it at? And if it's not at that location anymore, you know, what kind of plans do you have to move forward with it?
So as far as what we do, we have a couple of different community initiatives happening right now. The most impending one is that this Sunday we're actually going to be doing a thing at the nursing home in South Dallas. And it's going to be called, For the Love of Black History. And basically what it is an opportunity for people to come into the nursing home and speak with the elders and, you know, just kind of sort of talk about the good old days and talk about how we have changed for the better and for the worse in the way that we relate with each other and relate to each other as a people, dealing with love, dealing with social dealings and friendships and things like that, as well as just plain old black history, like what we were like back then when, you know, running from dogs and things. Like, I feel like we don't take as much advantage of the people that we have right now. We're all big history buffs, and we talk a lot about history and what a side of what it did and what you know, Khalid and Malcolm and everybody else would have done. But we're not listening to the Bettys and the Chris's and whomever else is that are here with us right now, you know. And so we really wanted to fashion it in a way to give some love and some honor to our elders. And we know a lot of people in the quote-unquote conscious community aren't a big fan of celebrating Valentine's Day. It's known as one of those European holidays, which I agree with. But I also know that as a larger culture, it's something that a lot of people kind of struggle not doing with kids or relationships or whatever. I don't care about all that stuff. If we can facilitate a way for the community to come out and have a purpose to be with, you know, our elders, I'm down for it. I don't know. I cut my losses. If I'm, like, not black militant enough for that, then that's fine, too. I am. So anyway, so we're doing that as a and then also when it comes to the budget suite. So we were doing this program called Community Love, and we do it every Sunday. We did it this last Sunday, even though they told us that we couldn't because we just gangsters like that. but we basically provide a hot meal, clothing, food, and hygiene products, as well as we do kind of classes with we do classes with the young boys and young girls. We'll have, like, local artists come out. My friend QP, who is my favorite Dallas rapper, I think, he comes out regularly and actually came out with a song called Dreamer. He has this kind of excerpt called Young Black Man, which the video has excerpts of us in the community at the budget suites. But last week, the owner, one of the managers, called us and was like, we can't do it. And there's been a couple of rather racist white people who have been there, and they're just kind of perturbed with the fact that the children are outside playing or that we have music or anything. They just don't want them to have anything done for them. And so for me, it wasn't an option to kind of concede to that. So we went anyway, and we're going to go back this Sunday and every Sunday until, I guess, they cart me away and take me to Loose Derrick, which is the city jail. But, you know, I don't believe in allowing corporate interests to dictate what it is that we're allowed to do for our own people. It kind of reminds me of a story that was this, I think it was a white guy actually, but he had made a practice of going out on the beach and feeding the homeless community out there, and they actually arrested him because he had been doing it for a very long time, and they were like, they had brought up like some type of a city ordinance where that was no longer legal, and
oh, wow.
They put like this 72-year-old man in jail for feeding homeless people, you know. And I think it's a sign of the times, the fact that people are putting down spikes so that homeless people can't sleep. Like, this shit is so barbaric and wrong that, you know, for me, it's just, it's like, shit, y'all are not going to tell me what I can't do with my babies. Because we've built relationships with them. We know each other by name. You know, they come to us about different stuff. It's really wrong what they're trying to do. But my brand of resistance ain't never been the write letters, call people type. I encourage other people to do that, to, you know, put out the fact that people were displeased about it. But, shit, I'm gonna just do it anyway. So, but, yeah, we have a couple of other stuff going on. We're doing a pistol raffle, which is something that everybody in Texas can get involved in. And, of course, everybody across the country can get involved in, although you won't have the hope of winning the pistol. Small little fact, we're doing a pistol raffle. It's $5 for a raffle ticket. If you go to bwdl.info, you will find our Facebook page. If you go to blackwomensdefenseleague.com, you'll find our crowd rise. If you want to enter the Pistol Powerball, you simply donate $5, note it, Pistol Powerball, and we will send you the numbers corresponding to your raffle ticket, which we're giving away at the end of February. There's some really good stuff going on in the future. We got T-shirts coming out in a couple of days at the end of the week, both logos. I know a lot of people were interested in getting those, so those will be available for sale. And I'm actually headed out to Baltimore, and then after that to Philadelphia. So we'll be making
some. Oh, Lacey, she's coming to your neck of the woods.
Oh, when are you coming to, exactly. When are you coming to Baltimore?
Probably in a week or so, actually. It was going to be I'm planning on moving out there ultimately. And right now, I've had to come to grips with the fact that I got, like, a whole organization that I have to make sure is solid and able to stand on its own. And so while my plans to move were at the end of February, bought tickets and everything, I have questions about me being able to legitimately do that and maintain
what has begun to be built in Dallas. And, you know, since it's where I started, I can't leave a half job. So the move is still happening, but I'll be going out there probably in the next week just to kind of scope out some things, make some connections, do some stuff, you know, and probably for about a week or so. So that'll be cool. We should definitely link up.
When you come here, we definitely got to connect because I actually live in Baltimore, so.
Yeah,
we're all in the area, so we definitely got to get up and do something or, you know, show you around our area a little bit. So definitely make sure you hit us up.
Yes, I certainly will. You don't even have to question it. Certainly will.
Well, I have other questions. Like, okay, so what weapons are you actually trained in?
So the first thing that I learned how to shoot was actually a rifle, and then secondly a shotgun, and then third a pistol. And then we also have trained and learned about doing joint locks, which are cool because we've learned how to do joint locks, which are cool because it enables a person, regardless of their weight differential to the person that's assailing them, to be able to disarm and sometimes dismember that person because it works.
Well, all right,
everybody has those. Everybody has those. It don't matter if you're a big 500-pound man or a 120 little, you know, small woman. Everybody has joints, and so I always encourage people who are looking to learn self-defense to look into that first because it's the quickest way to be able to protect yourself in a really quick way, too. you know, if you bend somebody's arm back the wrong way, they're not really going to be able to attack you the way they could back then. So we work with that. We also work and are putting together an intensive course, which will be open to the community, on domestic violence, molestation, rape, as well as self-defense, and really dealing intricately with things that are happening within our own communities, black to blacks, you know, and it's something that's a hard topic to talk about, like I was saying earlier, because people kind of assume, oh, well, you're a tool of the white people, and I'm just like, but it's not benefiting us to not pay attention to these issues. It's not benefiting us, and when we look at who's benefiting from it, they benefit from this fuckery going on that we're too scared to talk about. They know about the dirty laundry because they put the dirt on it, you know? So it's up to us to rectify it in whichever ways that we can. And so we're working on putting together an intensive course that will kind of educate people about it and give us the tools necessary to de-escalate situations. So if your sister is in an altercation with somebody, with a man or her significant other, whomever it may be, and they ask you to help, our first response shouldn't be, oh, I'm going to beat his ass. Like, that shit feels good. I ain't even going to lie. I know it feels good. But we also have to kind of come up with longer that shit feels wonderful. Been there. But we have to come up with longer term, like really, we have to come up with long-term solutions to these problems, and we also have to come up with ways to deal with them within our own communities. If we are going to be so dogmatic about not getting police involved, which I don't agree with at all times, but in general I do, I think that we also have a massive duty to replace the services that the so-called police provide. And that is not only rehabilitation, but also providing resources to those who have been harmed and resources to those who are doing the harming, unfortunately. I shouldn't say unfortunately. So we're putting together an action for men as well, which is going to be kind of peer-to-peer counseling for black men to talk about black men's issues. I've seen it on a number of occasions where a black woman could say something. I could say something. I shouldn't even say just a black woman. I could say something, and a black man comes behind me, and because he's talking to his brother, he resonates with that. And while I feel like that's a little sexist, on some levels I can understand it, because if it was a black man telling me about my moon cycle or telling me about how I should do my hair or telling me, I mean, like, I'd be like, what?
you know. So, you know, I think that it's somewhat valid that black men are sometimes able to resonate better with each other. And I know so many beautiful, amazing black men who are on it, when it comes to massage noir, who are on it when it comes to womanism, when it comes to even dealing with the homophobia in our community. And they're doing some amazing things and putting themselves out there because it's usually easier for them to be quiet, you know. The danger isn't the people who are out here talking about, oh, fuck bitches. It's the people who are quiet while their comrades and their friends are saying stuff like that. It's those, too. I mean, because really they help perpetuate it by not saying anything. And you can't be indifferent to black women's plight and also consider yourself one who's down for black power. It just don't go together. We're not finna wait. We're not finna wait till black men get all of their ducks in a row and until a black man is respected and then maybe black women can get their turn. Nah, we've been fighting for you for decades, you know. It's time for you to go ahead and put you some in on the table too. So there, thankfully I've been blessed to be around a good number of them and I meet more every day. You know, it's one of the biggest things that keeps me on fire about it because I never wanted to feel divorced from my brothers for loving myself. I have four brothers, like blood brothers, and I think that black men are amazing, you know. I don't have these issues where I think that black men are all the devil. I think that there are some black men who are unprincipled, and I refuse to allow them to be the poster for black men who are not. That being said, they got to get their ass somewhere. You know, you got to move on around somewhere if that's how you're going to roll. If being unprincipled is how you're going to roll, you don't get to represent my brothers who I know who aren't.
And that's very true. That's very, very true.
I think it's very well said.
Yeah. It's been a tough little battle. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say I just recently was talking to my uncle who always is trying to be on my case about doing more and being more, you know, active in the community and stuff like that. And he's been pressing me lately to get a weapon registered and to have multiple weapons and stuff like that, and to get ready because he's like, it's happening, you know. And it's funny because when I seen you, you know, they told us you were gonna be the guest, and I saw just the picture alone, and I was like, man, like he might be right, and it's not just because of the picture, but it's because I had a conversation right before that, and he's like. You know, he's not even that type of person. He worked for the government and been in the military, but he was like, "Hey, man, it's about to go down." He's like, I will tell everybody, man, like, not just for the sake of that, but just for the sake of people being crazy in general, like in this world and people dying left and right from the hands of, you know, somebody they love. Like just the last week, if somebody killed their baby mother and their baby. For they said for over $600 or something.
It was
so
child support.
Yeah, like it's like I really admire like what you're doing. Just in general, you know, and just like I know the risk you take just being out here, and I appreciate, you know, you actually still doing it, and I hope that a lot more people get on your cause. You know, and I really do. So keep fighting the fight. And I'm going to make sure I watch closely and try to do all I can to help out or attend, especially if you come to D.C. I'm not in Baltimore. I'm in VA right now, but, you know, we're close to DMV. So, you know, come on out here, you know what I'm saying, have a little event too. If you do, let us know. Let me know. And I'll come out and show support for sure.
We'll make a group trip, Keith. You can ride in my car.
No doubt.
Well, we have another caller.
Rachel, I see you. So, for the caller with the last four digits 5054, you're on the air.
We're gonna do this.
5054. Hello.
I don't think they are here.
or they're listening while on mute. So for one, we'll come back to you, or you can hop up in the chat. Just as a refresher to everyone, if you would like to listen in on the call, you can always dial the number and not press 1, or you can go to blogtalkradio.com/YBE. That way you can listen in silence, on mute. Nobody will bother you. You can be in the bathroom. You can be outside while your dog barks. You can be wherever you want, and nobody will bother you. If you would like to call in and join the conversation, how King Leon did earlier, press 1. We'll see your number, and we will come to you, and then we can take your question. If you don't want to get on the line, you can also put your question in the chat. But please know, guys, that when you press 1, after you dial in the number, to us it looks like you want to talk. So when we go to you, I would like to not look stupid anymore, guys, when I be like, here are your last 4 digits, where are you? Okay? All right. Sorry, but I just had to do that real quick.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to like take it to another direction, but we're here, and I was reading something, and apparently Kanye West has caused another bit of dust up by claiming Bill Cosby's innocence. I think it's funny because we're talking about that today as well, and it's like, now do y'all feel that is like an example, because I know he has an album coming out and stuff like that. Is that an example of the negative, like, fake support, or do you think that when he does these things, and do you think we should support that? Since it is us talking, should we support him when he makes statements like this? Because it seems like right now he's getting pummeled. So should there be more
people coming to Kim Kardashian is going to divorce him flat out. Like, it's like another year. She's going to divorce him. Because, I mean, Kanye West, he's still in there somewhere. Somewhere under the programming, he's still in there. And, I mean, with Bill Cosby, one thing we know for sure is that he's a fucking creep. Like, anytime you have to have women unconscious to have sex with, which he has testified to, you're a fucking creep. So at the minimum, that's what we know. I am a rape survivor, so I will always stand with survivors. Some of those women, they do have questionable stories, but something happened. At the bare minimum, that's what we know. There's something that wasn't quite right happened. So, I mean, I don't bash Bill Cosby, but I know how to separate Cliff Huxtable and Bill Cosby. Like, I know how to separate the two. So I can watch The Cosby Show and not feel guilty, because I'm looking at a character. The man, I think he's a fucking creep. Like, I wouldn't want to be in a room alone with his ass. And I definitely wouldn't drink the water that he gave me. Hell no. But, you know, I can watch the show and I can feel like I don't think the show should be taken off air, because look at 7th Heaven. Look at all these creeps in the industry who are, you know, actively abusing women and children. So what makes him any different? Why should he be crucified? Not saying that he should not be held accountable.
Right.
Why should he be crucified?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I definitely side with the side of, like, it happened to at least one person. And even if it didn't happen to all of them, I'm disgusted if it happened to just one of them. So I don't – and I do believe that he probably did to at least one, so that's why I can't really ride with him. But, yeah, like, that show means a lot just because of the imagery and stuff. And it doesn't have to be – it's not. That's not Bill Cosby. Like, that's Cliff Huxtable.
Yeah, I don't ride with him. I like the show.
And honestly, Felicia Rashad was actually more of my, like, inspiration on that show to begin with. Like, so in the beginning, like, she just reminded me of my mom and my auntie. And it was like, yo, that's crazy. Like, my mom and auntie, like, some she just like, they just like that. And, like, it was like, that's dope. And if you ever go back and watch that show, like, Claire Huxtable was a serious mother. Like, she
she would get on them kids, like, for real. And I don't think we've had a mother like that since. So it's a travesty that's off the air. But, yeah, I just had to throw that out there because I was reading and I saw breaking news. I'm like, oh, you know, what's going on now? And it was some Kanye West crap. But I just thought that was kind of funny in a way.
Yeah, I think Kanye will kind of say anything at this point. So, like, he's one person I can't really loop or bunch to this conversation because I'll be like, you just say anything because you want to say anything. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's just like a child that says stuff just so someone will look at you so you can respond. So, I just, for me, I don't really know. On a side note, I think we lost Niecy, guys, so I'm waiting for her call back in, but I do also see that we have two callers. Maybe after my disclaimer, they will actually talk. But Shalice, you want to try to go to those callers while I can see what happened to Niecy or if she's still available?
Well, give me one second because I think my internet crashed. I just want to make sure that it didn't. I can go to it
while you do that. All right, so I want to take the first caller that has last four digits of the phone number are 8195. Is 8195 on the line?
Yes, I am.
Well, hi. How are you doing today, King? What do you have to say, or what would you like to talk about?
I was a little late in on the conversation, but I'm just checking in, just listening, seeing what's going on.
Thank you so much. We appreciate the love and support. And please feel free to chime back in if you have any questions or if you have anything else, okay?
Ooh.
Thank you so much. Much love from all of us.
Thank you, brother.
All right, so we're going to take also the last four digits are 5054. You're on the line.
Hi, can y'all hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, good. I tried to say something earlier and it didn't say anything. But this is Kiara. I was just calling in, checking in, supporting.
Hi, Kiara.
Saying I love y'all.
Hi.
I was definitely listening in to Sister talking about self-defense and definitely made a mental note about the joints and stuff. I'm like, okay. So this is definitely good information, and makes me want to be more.
See, we gotta have a gun range date. Okay.
Seriously.
We gotta set that up.
Seriously.
Yeah,
I think
it would
no
be
bullshit.
Great. I will say this, and as someone that's usually not like a gun advocate or anything like that. Last year, I went to one of my best friend's uncle's house, in which he lives by Lake Ann, so it's just a lot of woods and people who have guns, black and white, and he has a lot of them, and he taught us how to use them, and I will say it is probably one of the most liberating feelings ever. For me, it's liberating to shoot at a target and hope that I get it in the middle or to shoot at a specific thing and, you know, acquire that target. Now, other people maybe, you know, what you like guns for is a whole different thing. However, I think it's very liberating, and I would love to do it, and I think it would be a great, like, girl power fun thing to do. Not that our brothers can't come, but some of you guys frequent it more than we do, so I think it would be exciting.
Very excited for that. Seriously. Like, whoever's setting it up, I'm definitely going to be part of it.
Yeah, I'm trying to come, though, so I'm going to.
Okay, well, that's fine. We will make it all-inclusive.
Baltimore.
Again.
I say Kiara, like Niecy said that she's moving to Baltimore.
Really?
Yeah, she is.
Well, that's even better.
I know.
I'm definitely down.
That's exciting. I don't know what happened to Niecy though. I'm so sad. I want her to call back. But
if she moves, it's gonna be lit either way. But we're going to have to do this. Keith will invite you. Or maybe we can have, like, a YBE
gun range party or something. But we can talk about that on a offline on a brainstorming call.
There we go. We got about 5 minutes left. Key, you got any announcements?
Tomorrow is West Wednesday. It'll be on Greenmount and 33rd. Come Together is next week. It is Friday, February the 19th, and it's from 6:30 to 9, and it's a social justice networking event. Tonight was supposed to be More Collab, but because of the snow and weather situation, it got canceled, and it's going to be postponed to a later date, and I'll let everybody know what that is. I think those are the only things I can think of off the top of my head. But, Come Together Now has a Facebook page, so please go like the page, share the page. It's definitely going to be it's going to be an open space for everyone to share their upcoming events, any thoughts that they may have. I'm considering doing a few different things with that Facebook page, so just be on the lookout. It should be fun and exciting for everybody.
We're excited, definitely, for sure. You have anything else for us, sis?
No, not right now. I'm still accepting donations for Be The Village. That is GoFundMe.com/BeTheVillage. My first event, which is going to be How to Be an Activist 101. That's going to be on March 26th from 4 to 7. So please make sure you come out and support. You can find all that information on my Facebook page.
Yes, and I think Niecy is fine back in. Niecy, do I have you back on?
Yes, you do. I'm here. I'm sorry.
Perfect. So, no, it's all right. We all, you know, things happen. But before, you know, the show does, and I do want to say thank you so much. This is, for me, has been a particularly exciting show. All of our guests are interesting, but I think the debate in the beginning of this show was great, and I really appreciate you coming. I'm not sure if you heard us talking amongst ourselves, but Kier, Shalise, and I want to have a gun range day, and we would like for you to join, preferably when you come. And since you'll be moving up here, either way, we try to make it happen. So,
yes.
You know, these are connections we would like to take
exactly.
Further from YBE Radio, because we all got things going on, and we would all like to be involved with everybody's stuff. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it. My phone went dead, so I had to, like, run into this little gelato shop so I could make sure I got back on. But I really appreciate the platform to be able to talk to the masses about what's going on and to your fan base and the people who are listening to you. As far as what we need, what we're looking for people who are wanting to open chapters of Black Women's Defense League, wherever they are, is that basically we just need like a little cadre of men and women who are down for it, you know, and from that we can build more and we can do more. But we just need some people who are going to be kind of dedicated to the cause and dedicated to the issues, as well as who are intuitive and willing to take initiative on issues that maybe we're not focusing on right now, maybe something that, you know, other people have some ideas about. I'm open to that as well. But BlackWomen'sDefenseLeague.com to give, BWDL.info to understand and to talk to us, send us a message. And we have a new website coming out, new T-shirts coming out very soon. So there's some big stuff in the works. And I just really appreciate the opportunity to be able to speak with the people tonight and to speak with you wonderful ladies and gentlemen. It's been wonderful.
Thank
it's been
you.
A pleasure.
Appreciate
thank you so much. Thank you so much, Queen.
Thank you.
Thank
and one
you.
Last thing. I do have a young gentleman in our chat. If you are a frequent listener, you may remember the gentleman that called in from New Orleans when we had, I believe, King Leon and Rez the Ruler on, and he was talking about incarceration and the things that he's doing in New Orleans. If you all do get a chance, this is for everyone on the line, please check out Give Him Free on Facebook. Like the page. Check it out. It's a community page to help support these brothers, raise awareness for police misconduct as well. Yeah, and I believe it's for particularly in Louisiana and New Orleans. He requested, you know, I shout him out. And I have nothing but love for a brother that is listening to my brand new show every 2 weeks. So I appreciate you, brother. We love you, and we appreciate it so much. Everyone have a good night, and we will catch you all on the next show. Love and peace, y'all.
Black power.
Ashe, black power.
Peace.
Peace.